The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Could it be that our secular colleges and universities are on the verge of collapse?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, we are in the early stages of a national cultural revolution. Yes, there is a moral and cultural pushback coming. Yes, many Christians are at the forefront of this. We must seize the moment. We must turn the tide together. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be back in our home studio after, well, 10 days total on the road, but 5 days physically away from the studio during our weekdays. So glad to be home for a couple of days, then back in our studios on the road in the coming days. But so glad to be with you. Here's the number to call. I'm going to ask you some specific college, university-related questions. And then later in the show, I may have some time to just take random general questions. But here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Did you go to a secular college, university? Maybe you're 25 years old, you graduated a few years ago, and you started working what you think is going to be your life vocational job or in that field. Maybe you're 60, you went to a secular college, university, you've been in your business world for many, many years, or ministry, whatever it is. So here's my question to you. If you graduated from a secular college or university, would you say in retrospect that what you learned there helped equip you, helped prepare you for your life vocation? If you graduated from a secular college or university, would you say that the education you got there helped equip you for your life vocation and just the general calling you have in life? Would you say that your education helped equip you for that? 866-348-7884. A little later in the show, I'll give you the results of our Twitter poll. So a lot is happening, friends. September 2nd of this year, so just 9 days ago, I spoke at the SEND event in Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan, maybe 7,000 young people present. And later that day, it struck me, wait a second, September 2nd, this is 23 years from the day that I spoke to several hundred thousand young people on the theme of Jesus Revolution at the Call DC, September 2nd, 2000, the largest gathering of Christian young people, to my knowledge, in American history. 12 hours of prayer, fasting, crying out to God. We had 780 students came up from Pensacola, 21, 22-hour bus ride each way, 17 buses. We had the largest group from anywhere in the nation. 100,000 copies of my Revolution book, which had literally just come out all over the mall in D.C. It was quite a sight to see, delivered by two semis. That's how many books there were. We gave away that day over 70,000 copies because one of the organizers said only one book per family. It was an extraordinary day, an extraordinary event. But later in the day, on September 2nd, I texted one of my colleagues who had organized the SEND, and I said, the things that we talked about 23 years ago are happening now. Many of the things that we expected to happen much more quickly then in terms of cultural change and a cultural pushback and a gospel-led moral revolution in America, things that we talked about 23 years ago, they are now unfolding in front of our eyes. We must seize this moment. And a lot of this has to do with our educational systems. Christopher Rufo has a new book on America's cultural revolution, basically how the left won almost everything, and the strategies and the overt, clear Marxist strategies that have become the norm in many of our secular universities across America. And as I've been watching this and charting it, I'm wondering, could we see the decline and even fall of some of our most prestigious universities? Look, a lot of things that were just part of our culture for years and years and years, famous stores, famous brands, gone. Well, Harvard, founded 1696 for the glory of Christ, you've got some of our elite institution goes back, they go back to early in American history. And probably well over 200 of our first 225 colleges and universities founded in America were founded with the explicit purpose of training people for Christian ministry, and then expanded to just training a general public to be good Christians wherever they go in life. The vast majority of them were founded by Christian organizations, denominations, leaders with very explicit Christian purposes. Of course, things shifted dramatically over the centuries, and America became much more multicultural and diverse and all that. I understand it. But could we be in a situation now where we will witness the decline and even the collapse of some of our secular universities? So I'm going to explain why I'm making this statement, why I'm raising this question. If you want more data to back up what I'm saying on the air, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just read my latest article. If you have the app, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, just read latest article there, and you'll see where we raise this question about the potential collapse of our universities. Now, before I get into that, it is September 11th. It is the 22nd year, 22nd anniversary, horrific, sad anniversary of the devastating attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, resulting in the lives of more than 3,000 lives lost, and God knows how many tens of thousands of lives devastated to this day, the scars, the pain remaining to this day. My wife's brother, Douglas, Nancy's brother Douglas, was killed the World Trade Center that day, leaving behind his wife and two children. That's a hole that never gets filled. That's a scar that never heals. Those are kids that grew up without a dad and a wife that lives all these years since without a husband. And it's one thing if you're engaging in a dangerous activity. You know there's risk to it. And you know you're skydiving, or you're doing a particular thing, and you know there's risk attached to it, or you're in the midst of a long battle with a physical disease, or you're driving recklessly, you're texting and driving, and any of these things, you lose your life. Well, it's okay, doing something dangerous or being irresponsible or having a long illness in battle, at least you understand what's happening. But this is just, you go to work one day. And for Douglas, he was not. He used to work at the Twin Towers, had a job there, but he was just there for a special presentation for a couple of days. He wasn't there otherwise, so it underscores the tragedy even more. But you're just going to work. You're not expecting radical terrorists to fly planes into the place of business, and for the towers to come down, the Pentagon to be massively hit and hurt. It's just motivated by hatred. It's motivated by demonic hatred. So we must remember, friends, that there are people with different ideologies that hate us, that hate Americans, that hate freedom, that hate our values, that hate us because we stand with Israel. There are many, many different motivations. And what makes it even all the more perverse is that the terrorists thought they were doing the will of God. They thought they were doing this for Allah. Remember, for Muslim, Allah is just God, God with a capital G. That makes things all the more tragic. So may God continue to bring redemption and healing and restoration to those who were directly affected by this tragedy. May America continue to be alert and vigilant, and may God continue to pour out his spirit in the Muslim world. That, again, your average Muslim is not a terrorist, is not a radical, but those who are often leading the way, may God bring them to repentance and salvation. May many with ideologies of hate be transformed by the love of God. 866-348-7884. Okay, back to our universities. For those watching, I'm going to pull up my article from our website that asks the question, the coming collapse of our secular universities. And First point to back this up, there has been a serious dip in enrollment. Maybe a second before we get on the screen, but everyone listening, just the same. There's been a serious dip in enrollment in our colleges and universities across the nation. As noted in the March 9th, 2023 headline on the Fortune website, quote, the labor shortage is pushing American colleges into crisis with the plunge in enrollment the worst ever recorded. So what first looked like a pandemic blip has turned into a crisis, according to Fortune. Nationwide, undergraduate college enrollment dropped 8% from 2019 to 2022, with declines even after returning to in-person classes, according to data from the National Student Clearinghouse. The slide in the college-going rate since 2018 is the steepest on record, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Economists say the impact could be dire. Then May 2022, U.S. News reported, college enrollment declines are here to stay. The enrollment data comes as a growing number of students consider alternatives to higher education, both as a result of tuition costs and data highlighting earnings potential without a degree. So this is one big thing, that enrollment rates have been declining, and many young people are saying, well, why go? The tuitions are so high, I can get a job without going to college, and I can get a job that pays just fine. I was being driven in Orlando, part of my trip, by a brother from Australia, and he was saying Australia is much more vocationally oriented. Yes, colleges, universities, people go there. Many people go there. But you can be trained in many different professions, even some related to medicine, like paramedic. A lot of it, until recently, just hands-on training, vocational training. So second reason that there's an enrollment decline is this. And I say in the article, declining birth rates are contributing to the lower enrollments. As a Hechinger report explained, focusing only on the effects of COVID on enrollment obscures that a demographic downturn has already been squeezing colleges and universities for a decade, during which the number of students has declined by an unprecedented 2.6 million or 13%. Because of a fall off in the number of births during the last recession, another drop off of 11 to 15% is projected beginning in the mid-2020s, and the number of prospective college students graduating from high schools. And yet, check this out, Western Journal, July 2021, birth rates are the right's secret weapon as liberal values backfire. Miska Solomon in the article stated that data from the General Social Survey indicates that in the 1970s, there was literally no difference in fertility rates between liberal and conservative women, according to the Institute of Family Studies. As of 2018, the gap had widened markedly, with conservative women between the ages of 30 and 44 averaging nearly 2.5 children, and liberal women, just over 1.5, she continues to approach the data another way. The survey also shows that a random sample of 100 conservative adults will raise 208 children. 100 liberal adults will only raise 147 kids, according to Fatherly, the Fatherly website. In other words, Christian conservatives are having babies at a much higher rate than liberals, atheists, agnostics, which could mean then higher enrollments in Christian colleges.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopal A, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopal A has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Good things take time. Cultural change takes time. So don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel because you've been praying and working hard for a year, for 5 or 10. The culture didn't shift overnight. Culture won't shift back overnight. Roe v. Wade was not overturned overnight. So what does Paul encourage in Galatians 6? Don't be weary in doing good, in doing well, especially to those of the household of faith. Don't be weary, because in due time you will reap a reward, either in this world or the world to come, and perhaps both. Michael Brown here, 866-34-TRUTH, serving as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Serving to tell you you're not crazy. What you believe, what you feel in your gut about God's faithfulness and God moving, and it's not too late for America. You're not crazy. Our God is a God who brings life out of death. Our God is a God who brings light out of darkness. Our God is a God who brings order out of chaos. He does it in the spiritual realm. He has done it in history. He does it in our personal lives. He is doing it to this day. Put your trust in him. Go into the phones momentarily, 866-348-7884. If you went to college, secular college, university, did your education, the degree you got, did that help equip you for your life vocation or not? I'll give you the results of the just first 100 votes on our Twitter poll in a moment. Before I go back to some interesting data about the universities, then to your calls, then to the poll, and a bunch of other interesting things we're going to cover today as well. Let me encourage you, if you've not yet taken our one-month workout challenge, go for it. I encourage you, if you work out, if you're a jogger, runner, you're trying to get in shape, you're getting better shape, take this challenge for 1 month. Call 800-771-5584. Those are our friends at Trivita. They'll gladly answer your questions and do a little wellness consultation over the phone. 800-771-5584. And do what I do. Order the nitric oxide that helps with blood flow and energy. Order the MyoHealth, which helps with muscle development, bone structure. And then the Nopalea, which fights chronic inflammation and really helps with recovery. And take each of those as prescribed for 1 month and do your regular workouts. Do it like an hour before workout. If you're not working out, just do it beginning of the day. And then let's monitor it. If you get great results and you're able to reorder, great. Use the code. If you go online, trivita.com, use the code BROWN25. When you call, you don't need to know the code because they'll give you the best discounts. 800-771-5584. If you get great results, that's why we're partnering with Trivita for a wellness revolution. If you say, I'm not really sure, hey, you made a donation to the ministry because 100% of your first order goes to the ministry and over a tithe of subsequent ones as Trivita partners with us to help see a healthy church bringing transformation to America, spirit, soul, and body. but I think you're going to really benefit. And I'm eager to hear your report. One of the best things we see is we get reports is how many folks are reordering, meaning they're really finding these helpful. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones first. We'll start with Brian in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Line of Fire. So what's your own experience? Where'd you graduate from, sir?
Hey, Dr. Brown. Yeah, I graduated from the Indiana University branch that's down here in the Louisville area called Indiana University Southeast. And first, I'll say a lot of positive. Graduated from there. Definitely got me the degree I needed for school, the degree I got from school got me ready for work.
When did you graduate?
I was in there actually for a good decade, Dr. Brown. I changed majors twice. So I started in 2010 and finished in 2020.
Okay.
But it got me, I say school because it brought me back into school because I teach, and it got me ready for that. And the professors I interacted with were really nice on a personal level. I think I liked them, had good relationships, but it definitely did further me in the direction away from the faith, because my 20s were real rebellious and left-wing and away from the faith, and I've come back to the faith in the last couple of years. But there were socialist organizations on campus ready to hang out with me. There were, professors who were secular, not only believers in evolution, but, atheistic evolution. And so anywhere you turned, there was a lot more energy out there bringing you in the direction of secularism than the faith. And so even though they were all nice folks, and you'd think, hey, it's the Midwest meets the South, not that liberal of an area, but it definitely was a place that was all red, definitely in a position to bring you away from the faith if you were wanting to go that direction.
And you didn't have a lot of professors with the other voice, with a conservative viewpoint or a God-fearing viewpoint. You didn't have in other words, it was slanted in one direction.
Yeah, I mean, I can name a couple who were conservative, but I don't know that even they were secular conservative, I would say, And so real of the faith professors, there might have been a few, but it was definitely, in the direct.
Right. Your experience is quite standard in secular universities across America. And like you're saying, not necessarily in the place where you would have expected to see it in a more conservative part of America. Hey, Brian, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. So that's my third point, which Brian's call leads into perfectly. So the first point in terms of the potential collapse of our secular universities is that we are seeing a steady decline in enrollment. And part of it is people saying, why pay these incredibly high tuitions, then be in debt, student debt for years and years afterwards, paying that off? Or families making pouring a ton of money to their kids going to these, quote, elite, prestigious universities across America, where they could get another job at another profession or get vocational training, and they don't need the degree. It's one thing. Declining birth rates is another thing, especially among liberal, atheist, agnostic. It's just well documented. And then the third thing is this. And I get into it in my article, which you can read at the sdrbrown.org website. The secular universities have gone so far left. Again, Christopher Rufo outlines how a lot of this has happened. Others have outlined it. So the so-called Long March, where the radicals of the 60s said, okay, let's just infiltrate the institutions and take over with our ideologies from administrators to professors and so on. They have gone so far left. They have gotten so extreme that they're at a point where why would you go? Why would you send your kids there? For what purpose? To get bombarded with an ideology that undermines what you stand for, even if you're not a conservative Christian. One organization has done regular surveys of free speech on campuses. And they found the university, the college, that came in worst of the 250-plus major schools they surveyed. The school that came in worst for free speech was Harvard University. On a scale of 1 to 100, it scored a 0. It scored a 0. But hang on, that was generous, because the actual score was minus 10.69 for free speech. -10.69, but the scale only went as low as zero. The second worst was at 11%. So, I mean, Harvard is, if you look at the real data, 20% worse than the worst one after them. At a certain point, you say, why on earth would I send my kids there? Why on earth would I want to go there when the environment is so hostile, when the ideologies are so radical? And here's the last point that comes out of it. These radical ideologies don't work. They just don't work. They don't function well in society. And when you graduate with more theory than practicality, of what use is it? I mean, it used to be you'd study geography to learn where places are. Now in places you study geography to react. How do you feel about that geography? You'd study classic literature to learn the great literature and to glean from it. Now you study it to learn about white privilege and how it works itself out in Western literature, and how do you feel about this? So this is completely non-productive. And because it doesn't work, people stop going, say to their kids. On the flip side, enrollments are expanding rapidly at Christian colleges and universities. They are seeing a jump in the other direction. Could this be part of a major national trend? I'm not giving a prophecy. I'm asking serious questions. Could this be? All right, phone lines are open. You can talk to me about anything. 866-348-7884. Hey, friends. Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony, as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, shout out to all of our torchbearers. Thank you for standing with us. Shout out to all of our supporters, those who pray for us. Thank you so much for allowing us to reach out to folks all over America, to expand onto new radio stations, to increase our online presence, to serve millions of people in America and around the world, to infuse folks with faith and truth and courage, and to do it freely. So thank you. Thank you to our co-sponsor, Trivita. You're helping us make a difference. Together, we are making a difference. Friends, the tide is turning. Now remember, until Jesus comes, we're going to have back and forth. Until Jesus comes, we're going to have up and down. We're not going to have total wickedness. We're not going to have total righteousness. But don't you want to leave the world a better place than when you were born into it? Don't you want it to be that at the end of your life, the gospel has spread more and more people are walking with God, and the works of darkness have been dismantled more, and your kids are growing up in a world where they can believe what they believe more freely and share it with others and make disciples more freely? Don't you want to see that happen? Shouldn't that be our goal? Well, it's all getting worse, Dr. Brown. The scriptures are clear. I differ. I've gotten into this many, many times. But what if people in every generation had that same mentality? It's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. So why bother? What if they had that mentality? What if they had that mentality before the overturning of Roe v. Wade? What if they had that mentality during the days of segregation? What if they had that mentality during the days of slavery? What if they had that mentality in the days of the ancient Roman Empire and its persecution of Christians and through history? No, light shines in the midst of darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. What's the New Testament mentality? Romans 13, the night is almost past, the day is almost here. So awake from slumber and put on the armor of light. What's the New Testament mentality? First John 2, the darkness is past and the true light is already shining. What does Jesus say? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, and then, and I'm with you always to the ends of the earth, so go and make disciples. That's the reality. That's the reality I live with and live in. I understand there's going to be conflict, battle, difficulty, challenge. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, John 16:33. But he also said, be encouraged, I've overcome the world. So my faith is in the risen Savior who sits at the right hand of the Father, who is Lord. And in his name, we go and make disciples. All right, let's go over to another Brandon, this time in Charleston, South Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Doing well. So what's your experience, sir?
So I wanted to comment on the universities on the verge of collapse.
Yes.
And I think I ran into a situation where I was like pledging for a fraternity. Mm-hmm. And I realized I didn't want to go any further. And I think a lot of what we're seeing now with the universities and, you know, people, students, like maybe not finishing, and it plays a part, but not maybe not a big part, but it does have something to do with it. People are starting to turn away from like the fraternities and sorority lifestyle.
And Brandon, when were you in school?
Oh, I went to College of Charleston from 2012 to 2016.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So you feel there's some of the college culture that kids are dropping out from?
Yeah. I think some of the culture just with the internet and being able to like go online and actually, you know, research things, I think that's playing a part in it, far as like, you know, the real origins of these fraternities and sororities.
Got it. Hey Brandon, I appreciate go ahead.
Oh no! I was gonna say, and that they their connection with like other gods. I think that's been a big question that we were. I know me and a couple other of my friends on campus would start asking, and you know that was kind of the turning point for me. I also have one more question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I am. I'm Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, I know a couple of weeks ago you were talking about like the history.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anywhere I could go to like maybe find when like we just took on the name Ashkenaz?
Yeah, it's very simple. Sure thing. And thanks for asking. I've been trying to get this information to Mr. Dante Fortson, doing my best, but I'm not, unfortunately, as I told him privately today, I just have to say it publicly, I've not found him to be an honest player. I've presented evidence and it gets discarded. My words get twisted. So it's unfortunate because I reached out to him as a brother, said, hey, come on the air with me. We'll have private dialogue off the air, whatever you like. So but here's the deal. Ashkenaz was the name given to Germany by Jewish rabbis and leaders going back about 1,000 years. We find it in Rashi's commentary. Rashi lived from 1040 to 1105. He was the most famous biblical and Talmudic commentary in Judaism. So this was this was Rashi would refer to German as the language of Ashkenaz, and because the Ashkenaz in the Bible, right? So descendant of Japheth, Ashkenaz in the Bible is associated with being a descendant of Gomer. Gomer sounded like Germany. The original descendants of Ashkenaz are probably the Scythians, who disappeared from history over 2,000 years ago. But over the years, you wonder, well, could these be descendants of Ashkenaz, etc.? So because the name was connected to Germany, Gomer connected to Germany, there were medieval rabbis who began to call Germany Ashkenaz, right? So it's not descendant of Shem, it's not Israelites, Ashkenaz. So you can go back to Rashi's commentary and some of the other writers about that time. So Jews who lived there were called Ashkenazi Jews. In other words, German Jews. Just like I'm an American Jew and my grandparents on my father's side came from Russia, they were Russian Jews. My grandparents on my mother's side came from England, they were British Jews. I'm an American Jew, they were German Jews. And as German Jews, they were called Ashkenazi because that's how Germany was referred to. So when people, I've been, candidly, sir, I've been shocked. I've been disappointed. I've been, I don't know what other word to put on it, to see how this simple fact gets swiped. You're stealing identity. It's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm trying to help you. And look, I have no dog in the fight. I know I'm Jewish. I know my ancestors are Jewish. And I don't care what color you are, whether you're black or white or yellow or red, whatever color you are, if you're Israelite Jewish, you got converts in your background. Everybody does. It's just the reality of things. An intermarriage, you've got that in your background. We all do. But my ultimate identity is found in Jesus Yeshua. If all the original Israelites were black, there's no skin off my nose. It doesn't affect me. They weren't white. It doesn't affect me. I understand they were brown skin, but either way, it's immaterial. What matters is who we are in Jesus, who we are in Yeshua. And when one group, the only way they can find their identity is by dissing another group and say they're the synagogue of Satan and inciting hatred, you know, there's something very wrong in that position. Those who sow division among brothers are not doing God's work. Those who sow confusion by misrepresenting what others say or misrepresenting historical sources are not doing God's work. So why does it grieve me? Because I want to help these people. I want to reach them. Forget the color of the original Israelites. That's not the issue. I want to help people who are spreading misinformation, who are sowing discord, who are hurting the body. I want to reach them. I want to help them. And if they do know Jesus, if they're my brothers and sisters in Yeshua, why in the world are you doing this? Has it helped your cause? Anyway, that takes us off topic. But if you want more stuff about origins, just search on YouTube, Dr. Harry Abramson, A-B-R-A-M-S-O-N, Dr. Harry Abramson on YouTube. Just type Ashkenaz. You'll get a lot of good information there as you do that. Okay, I'm going back to the phones in a moment, but here's my Twitter poll so far. Just 116 votes, so just a handful of people responded. If you graduated from a secular college or university, would you say that your education and degree helped equip you for your life vocation? And I asked folks to indicate their age group too. So those aged 25 to 45, 29%, so almost 3 in 10 said yes, it helped. Those aged 46 and up, It's 28.4%. So that means that you've got here almost 60%, almost 6 out of 10 said yes, the secular education helped with life vocation. Those who said it didn't, 25 to 45-year-old, 25.9%, 46 and older, 16.4%. So it's about 42, 43%, because it's varied back and forth, who said it didn't help. So let's say close to 6 in 10 thus far of all ages are saying it helped, close to 4 in 10 saying it didn't help, which is interesting. But as the universities get more and more extreme, more and more left-leaning, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. All right, let's go over to Dakota in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I have a brief question, a little bit off topic.
Well, can you comment? Yeah, did you want to comment on the universities first?
You know what? I don't have much to say on that topic.
Okay. All right. So hang on. That's what it said on my screen. That's where I was going. So hang on. I've got to get to another caller or two first, and then we'll see if we can get back to you, sir. So let me just conclude by saying I don't know what's going to happen with the Harvards and the Yales. These schools are prestigious. They're massive. They have folks coming from all around the world to study there. They are top-level scholars in many ways, but these different factors, massively high tuitions, people finding other ways to get a good job without going to college, lowering birth rates, especially among those who are more liberal and secular, increasing or higher birth rates with Christians, the level that the universities are getting extreme left, extreme woke. Look, when I went to school in 73, started college, my professors openly attacked the Bible, openly attacked my faith. I did not study with a single believer, anyone who shared my faith in college or grad school. This is nothing new. Things have gotten way more extreme, and it just doesn't work. Will this lead to the demise of the university? We'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, let's send our kids to places where they can learn in a safe and godly environment.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
I really enjoy being physical. It's something I've just always loved, but I've definitely had times where it's really crippled me up. Being a horse trainer can be pretty physically demanding with all the duties that I have, not just riding horses for a living, saddling horses, caring for the horses. I feel like Nopalea just took the edge off, and then it's continued to keep me from getting sore. Nopalea, it's been a huge blessing.
Now there's a solution by lowering levels of chronic inflammation. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
It's fun to be on the golf course again. I'm able to swing the club freely. Hopefully, I'm hitting better golf shots. Nopalea has allowed me to get back on the golf course, enjoy the game that I love, and maybe even give me that little edge to beat my friends at the game.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. If you don't get our emails, take 30 seconds. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just sign up for the emails, your name, email, if you'd like your address as well, or just your zip code. We will be in touch. We will be pouring into you every single week. If you have the app, you can just click to subscribe to the emails there at Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. Okay, before I go back to the phones, Coco Gauff, 19-year-old American tennis player, African-American, won her first major in tennis on Saturday, beat the new number one ranked female player, Aryna Sabalenka, and just, you know, 19 years old, very mature. She first came on the scene at 15. I remember seeing an interview. She's like, well, I can't even get a car. I can't drive yet. Like, if she got all the prize money, what's she going to do with it? But she's open about Christian faith. She's not just preaching day and night, but just open, talking about her church family, talking about God. So she wins the U.S. Open, incredible performance, and does an interview afterwards. So let's hear what she has to say.
What does it mean to win your first Grand Slam title on home soil?
Oh my goodness. It means so much to me. I feel like I'm a little bit in shock in this moment. You know, that French Open loss was a heartbreak for me. But I realized, you know, God puts you through tribulations and trials, and this makes this moment even more sweeter than I can imagine.
We saw you say a prayer, get on your knees. You have a lot of faith. How important has that been through this journey for you?
Oh, it's been so important. You know, I don't pray for results. I just ask that, you know, I get the strength to give it my all, and whatever happens, happens. I'm so blessed in this life, so I'm just thankful for this moment. Like, I don't have any words for it, to be honest.
All right, so that's what she has to say. Just open about her faith, talking about God in regular terms, mentions her church family and things like that, and the help she got. And I saw an interview where she said, look, you know, the pressure of tennis and all you're under, she goes, look, she's got a great life. People don't know where they're going to get their next meal from. That's pressure. People living with real hardship. So, and anyway, for those watching, I'm just going to post something. So there is a little clip of her getting on her knees. So it's after the match, and she's getting on her knees. She gets on her knees, and she folds her hands. She closes her eyes, and she folds her hands. Okay, this is the prayer position. This is how people pray. So she's doing it openly, publicly. And ESPN posts it and says she's soaking in the moment. She's already talked about her faith, right? She's an open Christian. I don't know her life personally or anything, but just it's very enjoyable to listen to, very, very even tempered in all this. Only the fourth teenager to win the U.S. Open, the last being Serena Williams, the amazing, great female tennis player for many, many years, just recently retired. So ESPN posts that. So Tony Dungy, former football coach and well-known commentator, so he posts, I hate to break this to you, SportsCenter, ESPN, but Coco Gauff was not, quote, soaking it all in at this moment. She was praying. She has been very open about her Christian faith in the past. It seems pretty obvious what she is doing here. So good job, Tony. I mean, here's the young lady getting on her knees, folding her hands with her eyes closed by her chair. That's what you call praying. And she's done an interview. She's just done an interview open about her faith. What else do you call that but praying? So to say she's soaking in the moment, come on. So good job, Tony Dungy, exposing. That just happened over the weekend. I thought it was worth pointing to. All right, let's go back to the phones And we will go to William in Newark. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, God bless you. That's well.
Hey.
Can you hear me? Okay. I just want to, I'm a dissident. So my question is, especially to you, I love you, I appreciate you, you're an intellectual, but don't we need people like you to start, like, asking Christians in this nation to pray, not only for those of 9/11, let's say, like today, but also for the ones that we as a nation killed somewhere else, like Iraq, 1 million innocent lives that we know now there was no weapons of massive destruction. Isn't it time that we start doing this so the Lord could actually, you know, hear us maybe? Or I feel like we are, in a sense, delusional, in a sense, and not bringing that up and not acknowledging that.
Yeah, William, it's a fair question to ask. As to weapons of mass destruction, there's still debate, actually, in different circles, or were they brought out of Iraq into Syria, etc. But let's just put that aside. Let's say that America, based on the best intelligence that it had, believed that there were weapons of mass destruction, and that it was right with Saddam Hussein basically saying, okay, I am not against the enemies of America, and therefore if you're not against our enemies, then you're against us. So going to war, let's give the best case scenario, okay, William, that mm-hmm. our best intelligence said there were weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein had positioned himself in a way that we perceived to be anti-American, and therefore we had a right to attack. So I know you don't agree with all of it, but let's just say that. Were there many civilian casualties? Were there many in Iraq whose lives have been devastated to this day? And are there many who are anti-American in the Middle East because of this? Yes, for sure. Yes, for sure. And for sure, we should pray for victims of other wars as well. I think it's a fair point as Christians. The difference, and I hope you can hear this, the difference is one group intentionally said, we are trying to attack and destroy civilians. We are going after people who have no connection to this whatsoever. It is our intent to kill as many innocent Americans as we can, whereas the American military said we're going to do our best to destroy Iraqi military operations and things that we can feel are threats, and we're going to minimize civilian casualties, but there will be there. Do you at least accept that difference?
I do not, but I do appreciate your
Tell me why you don't accept that difference. Just be honest. We're having a candid conversation.
Thank you. I think we know by now that this is what we do. You know, I think by now we know so many things have become declassified. We know that we are a terroristic state, that there are very good people here in the government, but the state itself is a subjugating state. You know, when NAFTA was implemented, the influx of illegal immigrants increased by 1 million that year.
So when you say we're a terrorist state, so you see I'm responding to you rationally, right? I'm not just...
Sure.
Oh, okay, sure. So you appreciate that, and I appreciate that you appreciate it. But to say we're a terrorist state when we know what terrorists do, targeting innocent, intentionally slaughtering the innocent. So you honestly believe that the American military intentionally slaughtered innocent Iraqis, that was part of our reason for going there, to intentionally slaughter large numbers of innocent Iraqis. That was our goal? That was part of our goal? You actually believe that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just that overall, this is what we do. You know, according to Chris Hedges, you know, we have displaced 2 million Mexicans in the past 20 years out of the lands. This is what we do to Syria. To Iran in 1963, 63, I believe, we dethroned a democratic state government and put a dictator there. It's been declassified. This is what we do, Dr. Brown. So my question is, I mean, it's out there by now, you know?
And you are aware that others who've studied the issue would differ with what you're saying. So let me just say this, because I'm just about out of time. But I appreciate you calling respectfully, and we always do our best to give a hearing. Obviously, I do not believe that we are a terrorist nation, but for sure, we have interfered in things around the world, thinking it's either in the best interest of international security or our security or in the best interest of different nations. We have definitely helped raise different powers up and bring other powers down. We've definitely done that. You know, we get all worked up, rightly so, about, is Russia trying to interfere in our elections? Is China trying to interfere in our elections? We've certainly done similar things in different parts of the world. We've thought it was in the best interest of the world or America. So let me just say this. I differ with William that we are, quote, a terrorist nation, or, quote, this is what we do. But for sure, we have blood on our hands, and we've made mistakes, and we've interfered because we are not the kingdom of God. That's the whole deal. America is not the kingdom of God. America is a fallen nation in the midst of a fallen world that has done tremendous good and has helped the world in many, many ways. I'd say we've helped militarily more than we've heard. Obviously, William would differ with me. But we've done a lot of evil and bad. I mean, just sending out our sins around the world. And even with the church, sending out a carnal message around the world. So we've done a lot of good, we've done a lot of bad, because we're not the kingdom of God. Which is why my great, great prayer, my biggest prayer is not God bless America, but Lord, your kingdom come to America. With repentance begin with us. Oh, and let it start with the church. Let it start with you and me. So you can differ with William, but still our heart should be one of humility, repentance. Tomorrow, another controversial show you don't want to miss. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.